sing in the youth choir. Thankfully, they don't ID you, and so that's helpful. But it's also a blessing to be able to stand in the back and listen to them sing once in a while. And yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's good. It's good. Open your Bibles up to 1 John chapter 2 tonight. We're having some problems with the mic this morning. Did you hear it about halfway through? It shut out. Anybody hear that? All right. But I think we got it fixed. The channel died. Is that right, Mr. Bauman? That's what you're telling me? Who knows? A1. Now we went to 06. 06. Feels better. I like it. Feels a lot like A1, but it's all right. 1 John chapter 2. How many of you know Miss Katie Adams, right? She's a blessing. She pretty much, every time I see her, she says, it's her fourth week now in a row that she's been here. She's like, didn't expect to see me, but I'm starting to expect to see her, you know? And then she'll say, you want to hear a joke? And she asks me, to which then I always ask, is it clean? Because you never know with Miss Katie. And so she had a good joke. She said, why are frogs always happy? Because they eat what bugs them. You see? And she just says it. Her delivery, where's Roger? Her delivery is awesome. Perfect. She just handles it. And then she's smiling like if you didn't think it's funny, you're just looking at her, smiling, so you smile. And so I'm thankful for Miss Katie. She's an encouragement. Pray for Miss Katie. Thankful for the opportunity to be able to minister to her. And Miss Melissa was here this past week, and man, she's got issues at her house, and she's, you know, I'm thankful that they feel loved here, and you know, they have no other family here. It's they just show up and just come. And I'm thankful that you've made them feel loved and welcomed. Why don't we pray and then we'll start tonight's message. Heavenly Father, we need you. I need you. Lord, again, Lord, as we look at your word, I pray that you'd deliver it well tonight, Lord. And God, I pray that the things that you've laid on my heart, that I'd properly communicate them. Lord, again, for your honor and glory. Lord, I sure do love these people, and I want to be a help and a blessing. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I've said this before. I'll say it again. Sometimes we have to say things, not that are always easy, but we say them not even because we necessarily like them, but because we care for you. I care for you. I talk to young people a lot and tell them things, and if I didn't care for them, I wouldn't tell them that. I just let them do whatever it is that they want to do. And so it is with our children, right? Sometimes we have to say difficult things. Just be a lot easier to turn a blind eye to it. But that doesn't help them in the end. I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but maybe before you were saved, how about that? We'll say that. We'll preface it like that. Maybe you got into the wrong relationship. How wrong relationships usually go is that it starts off with maybe an acquaintance. You exchange pleasantries. You know, kids these days, I used to tell our high school class, you know, hey, just because a boy hands you a pencil does not mean that's a proposition for marriage. Like, they were just being courteous. Like, It's not love, all right? You understand it was just, you dropped your pencil. He knows me, he loves me. You know, hold on. So it starts as an acquaintance, transpires to pleasantries, you become familiar with one another, turns to something being of somewhat amiable, meaning friendly. You become interested. Now, this is the wrong relationship, mind you. You have no, you should not be in this. You grow fond of one another. There's now a commitment. And then the beloved four-letter word, love. Oh, man. You fell in love with the wrong person. You disregarded maybe parental advice. Again, this is before you were saved, we'll say. You disregarded all the warning signs. I've seen this guy growing up and he's had 5 different girlfriends, but I will be different. And yet you still go forward. Emotions are a difficult thing. Love is not something you can just turn on and off. When you get to that point in the relationship, even if you wanted to stop, you're already committed. To be committed, you've had to turn your back on other things. Walk away from some things that you know are right and some things that you know are true. And now here you find yourself in love with the wrong person. Again, denying the warning signs, denying the warnings by people. And now you're in love. And you're thinking, I'm not sure this was a good idea. Without lifting your hand, do you understand what I'm saying? Are we... Some people can identify? All right. Again, the difficulty of just turning off feelings. How it usually ends is not usually well. Breaking off wrong relationships is difficult. Hearts are broken. But the problem is you fell in love with the wrong thing. The wrong person. Not just ladies do this, but gentlemen do the same thing. Fall in love with the wrong person. You thought it was going to be one way, and pastors and parents reached out to you and said, hey, stop this. This is not good for you. And yet you still went forward. And now you have an emotional attachment to something that you ought not to. Say, wow, you took me back to junior high school. You took me back to high school. You took me back to college. Oh, man, I wish I could. I wish I would have listened to Mom. I wish I would have listened to Dad. You know, I make recommendations to our ladies and gentlemen. I tell the boys, I said, hey, pay attention to how she treats her dad. Because that's how she's going to treat you. And I tell the guys, or the girls, hey, pay attention to how he treats his mom. Because that's how he's going to treat you. Say, yeah, but his mom is no good, and she's mean. Yeah, but even in the midst of mean, he's still called to honor and respect her. Same thing with the girl with dad. And love has a way of blinding that. You don't even see it. Then we come to 1 John chapter 2. So why'd you say all that? Because 1 John chapter 2 verse 15 says, love not the world. And against warnings by people, against warning signs, against seeing it previously done and destroying other people's lives, we think we'll be the exception to this love affair with the world. It's not going to get me. I'm going to be the different one. And just as silly as it is with 18-year-old kids falling in love with the wrong person, so it is with Christians falling in love with the world. And it never ends well. It ends with regret. Just like that relationship. Man, what a waste. What a waste of, you know, you'll see it on Instagram. How could I have gone this long without feeling such strong feelings for you? You are made for me. I can't imagine a moment, you jerk, I never want to see you again. It's like, what happened in there? What happened? They got wise to the situation. Now there's regret. Now there's a waste of time. Maybe it lapsed a month, 2 months, sometimes years, maybe even decades. And then you come out and go, what was I thinking? I've wasted so many resources on this person. I've wasted so much time. I knew it wasn't right. I knew it wasn't going anywhere. So it is with the world. When we fall in love with the world, whether it's a week, a month, a year, decades, you understand it's a complete waste of time. It's the wrong relationship. You fell in love with the wrong person. Hey, when those young people come to me and say, Pastor Russo, I fell in love with the wrong girl. As long as they're not married, I say, end the relationship right away, as quick as possible. It's the same advice to you tonight. I fell in love with the world. Hey, end that relationship as quick as possible. Cut your losses as quick as possible. But I've invested so much. You've wasted it. It's gone. I've missed out on so much. I'm going to try and make this work. You're being lied to. It'll never work. Loving the world will never work. Because the world will always be the world. We have the comparison or the contrast here. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, and here's the alternate. Here's the right relationship. The love of the Father is not in him. Matthew chapter 6 verse 24 says you can't love both God and mammon. You can't. You'll either hate the one and cleave to the other. That's my version. We could go there, but for sake of time, you understand. You know the verse. You can't love both. So you have to pick. Are you going to love the world? Or are you going to love the Father? Now the world, as I even said this in our young adults class this morning, we had the blessing in the young adults class of studying 1 John this past week. A lot of stuff in there. And the world is not a ball of soil. You understand that? That we're not talking about hugging trees. It's not it. The love of the world is not, man, I love that sunset or that beautiful rainbow or those pretty clouds. That's not what we're talking about. Say, what are we talking about? It defines it for us in verse 16. It defines what the world is. For all that is in the world, here's the three things that we ought not to love. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So it defines for us the world. As our love for the world would grow, our love for the Lord would be less. You understand that? But if our love for the world would be less, our love for the Lord would increase. You understand, our love for the world will pull us away from the Lord. If there's something in your life that is pulling you away from God, that's the world. So why would I give time to that? If the things that are right in my life, and I know that should be in my life, are well established, and I'm doing something that pulls me away from the right things in my life, that's my enemy. And those three things are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Lust of the flesh, the appetite of indulging in all those pleasures. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain. Do you know what that word means? Stop. Did you know that, Chase? Good. Thank you. I appreciate our LOBA students. We have chapel every Thursday. No? Is it Thursdays or Tuesdays? Thursdays. And when I ask a question or a definition, some of their hands go up. There's like certain people who try. Chase is one. If he knows it, his hand's going up. Even if he thinks he knows it. If he's close in his mind to it. There's some people that raise their hand immediately, and then I cone them immediately. I forgot. How could you have forgotten? There's no forgetting. Okay, sorry. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts. Because they war against the soul. They fight against that which is good. The appetite of indulging in pleasures. The lust of the flesh. The scripture says stay away from it. Abstain from it. Don't even give time to it. Why? Because it wars against your soul. Well, just as long as I don't go through with it, I can think about it. No, it fights against your soul. Because what you think about, you'll end up doing. Isn't that the progression of our thoughts? For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Well, just as long as I don't touch, nope. Abstain from fleshly lusts. Because they fight against that which is good. You might be sitting there thinking, yeah, give it to our young people. Tell them about it. Hey, that's for adults too. Adults, the love affair with the world is hurting you. The lust of your flesh is hurting you. So why do I struggle so badly with doing right? Because we give time to that which is wrong. And it pulls us away from that which is right. Not only the lust of the flesh, but the lust of the eyes. Our eyes are delighted with riches and possessions. Oh, I want, look at all those things I can have. What it is it's covetousness. It's hard to not be covetous. They send you catalogs to encourage covetousness. I don't know what kind of catalogs get sent to your house, but they send me technology catalogs. I don't know how they know. But all of a sudden, like, I'll get a Dell thing, and hey, you need that. You're right, I do need that. One on each page. Hey, bring this key in. You might have won a vehicle. I just give them to the kids. But I look at the vehicles and I go, ooh, there's a chance, right? Like, maybe I did win. What am I doing? I'm just lusting after something. Psalm 101, look there. Psalm 101, verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside, it shall not cleave to me. The previous verse cries out, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Be careful what you allow your eyes to see. You know, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to lock myself in a room? Am I not supposed to eat anything? Am I not supposed to go to Wegmans? You know, the Lord created quite a few things for us to enjoy and can do right with and do well with and do godly with. But somewhere, sometime throughout, the world can grab a hold of that in our life and make it wrong. Is it bad to have vehicles? No. Is it bad to have a house? No. But it is wrong to be covetous. And it is wrong to lust after things that are sin. So don't love the world. Cut your losses. Say, I'm deep in. Well, cut your losses. Get out of the relationship. End it. Call them up and say, I'm sorry, I'm not talking to you anymore. And then when they call back, don't answer. Call her up. Say, I'm sorry, this isn't going good. This, you're not good for me. It's not me, it's you. Isn't that the opposite? Don't they usually say, it's not you, it's me? No, you're the wrong one. You're pulling me away from the Lord. You're hurting me. Call the world up tonight and let them know. I'm sorry, this relationship is over. I'm going to go love the one that I ought to. The Father. Lastly, the pride of life. Genesis chapter 3. Pride of life. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So she stood her ground, answered correctly. Did God tell you you can't eat of those fruits? She said, no, we can eat of all the fruits except for that one tree. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Know what he had just appealed to? Her pride. Oh no. No. You've been lied to. You'll be as God if you eat. You'll have all knowledge and all understanding. He's trying to keep you down. He's trying to hide something from you. There's something wonderful on the other side. He doesn't want you to be happy. And that's what the world will tell you. Oh, that church over there. Oh, man. They're just not letting you be you. They're keeping you trapped. Come on over here. Look it up. Look at how much better. Look at all that you'll know. You deserve this. That's what the devil did to Eve. He appealed to her pride. And from the very first people on this earth, he has been doing the exact same thing over and over again. He appeals to your thirst for honor and applause. Come. Come exchange righteousness for accolades. Because you got to give that up to have that. And they cash it in. And person after person trades in that which is godly and right for an opportunity for honor, thinking that I'll be somebody. God gave me an incredible mind, and it would be a waste to use it on. I should go out and see what the world I could do in the world with it. And the devil will appeal to man's pride, try and get him out of the things of God. All because of a love for the Lord, or a love for the world. Go back to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. He says this in verse 17, "The world passeth away." Again, we defined what the world was. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. You understand that that's going to pass away. The things that you're desiring and wanting and willing to exchange all that is good and true for is all temporal. And he says this, all those things are going to go away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Love of God will not fail. See, these vanities are not in a church or found in a workplace. This lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life are not something that you're going to encounter Monday morning at the water cooler. It's not at the grocery store or at the doctor's office. No, these vanities are within the heart of individuals. So I'm afraid our world has gone worldly. It's because individuals have gone worldly. You can't blame the edifice. The only person you can blame is you. When a church goes worldly, it's because there's been a love for the world rather than the love of God. in individuals. You have a responsibility. You have an obligation to Christianity. A couple more verses. Ephesians chapter 6. The world will pass away, but what will be established, what will not pass away, according to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17? Does anyone remember? The will of God, correct? And we said that these battlefields of the love of the world and the love of God don't happen. They happen in the heart of man. And then we read this verse here, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ. Look at this. Doing the will of God from the heart. The battlefield. Where lusts are defeated. Where pride is defeated in the heart. For the will of God, doing the will of God will last forever. Doing the will of God from the heart. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Where does the Spirit dwell? In my heart. Kind of piggybacking on to our morning thought. Spirit of truth within our hearts. He says when you give time and love towards the things of God, then you will not fulfill those lusts. You will not even enter into the relationship. Coming up on 41. Chase, that's old. I see young people and I see them interacting or I talk to young people and I'm like, hey, do you got anybody of interest? Because that really reveals where you're at in life. Oh yeah, I met this girl at work and where'd she go to church? I don't think she goes anywhere. I met this guy through a friend and where do they go to church? I don't know. I'm working on them. And I just hear that and I go, that's not good. That's not going to go well. You're starting down the track of sorrow. You're getting into the wrong relationship. And it's really obvious to see. Because, quite honestly, none of those work. And as many as young people have vowed that their situation will be different, it's never different. Why? Because you're not going against Pastor Russo. You're not going against Walker Bible Baptist Church or Mom and Dad. You're going against the principles of God Himself. It's just not, it's not going to go well. And as obvious as that says, if I sat down with the Sutliffs and said, hey, I got this young man. He's 17 years old. He met this girl at a dance club. But he loves her. What do you think? No. No, that's not a good idea. I got this beautiful young lady. She's never been with a boy ever in her life. And she was at the mechanic shop. And he's about 20 years her elder. He's gotten a couple kids, but he really took a liking to her. No. That's not a good idea. And it's really obvious, right? Do you understand that that love relationship with the world is equally as obvious? No, I'm gonna work it out in the world. My love for the world, it's gonna go good for me. No, it's not. It's gonna end in a train wreck and a barn fire disaster. So how can you say that? Because that's what God says. And I'm just here to warn you tonight. Again, if I didn't care, I wouldn't say anything. I'm just here to tell you tonight. Break the relationship. Get out of it. As quick, say, yeah, but I've invested so much. You've wasted all of that. Stop wasting one more minute. Because the world really doesn't care about you. God really cares about you. Last verse, I think. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In verse 3, 1 Thessalonians 4, 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. That's the will of God for you. Pastor Russo, what's the will of God for my life? Your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Get out of the love relationship with the world. That's the will of God for you. Now the world will come and try and rob the Christian of blessings that the Christian are entitled to. And they'll try and make it their own. Don't let them take that which is good and right. Don't let them come and try and take our young people. Don't let them come and contradict the word of God and take your, you know, how many of you got a blessing from the Jabiskis? Every time I see their name on the list, I'm like, yes. Looking for the repeat button. Do it again. Don't let the world come by and steal that. Say, oh, I've seen people use the violin for the devil. Yeah, but these ones aren't. Just because someone uses something wrong doesn't mean we have to throw the whole thing away. Oh man, there's a group that pounds those drums. Yeah, but that's not this group. They can glorify the Lord with that. Yeah, Billy Joel, he can do some crazy things. Say, wow, you just dated yourself. I understand. He can do some crazy stuff, great stuff on the piano. Well, we better get rid of the pianos. No. There's a way. God gave us an ability to worship Him. I'm not going to throw all those things away. Don't let the world come and snatch that which is good. And steal it. And rob us of a blessing. We can use the things that God has blessed us with. I'm saying that the Lord created some things in this world for us to enjoy and to please Him with. Be careful that we not cross over and use those things wrongfully. Say, like what? Your life. He created you, Chase, to please Him. And just as easy as you can please the Lord by loving Him, you can please the world by loving it. And just as crazy as someone could take a piano and make it an instrument of the devil or the instrument of God, so it is that the world can take you. Remember, that happens within the heart. That's where that battle fights. Oh man, my workplace, they're pulling me down. They're not pulling you down. It's in the heart. You can go through that thing and you can come out clean. Why? Because you've abstained from some things. You've done the will of God. You've sanctified yourself. And you're a vessel unto honor. Don't let the world steal you. You're way too valuable to God. Say, Pastor, I'm in the wrong relationship. Get out. Get out right away. Once again, maybe before you were saved, you were in the wrong relationship. Looking back, you say, every moment that I was in that relationship was a waste of time. The sooner I could have gotten out, I should have. Same thing with the world. And you're going to get out and you're going to look back and go, what was I thinking? That guy was a buffoon. She was dumb as a box of rocks. What was I doing? That was such a waste. Hey, don't let the world steal you. You're precious in the eyes of God. Let's all stand. Listen, I'd much rather, as Mr. Lauk would say, preach a flowery, candy, sweet-coated, lollipop message. But I love you. And I care for you, and I want what's best for you. So we read verses like this. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, all those things are going to be gone. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Hey, with no one looking around, no one looking up, could you, with an uplifted hand, say, I am... Pastor, will you just pray for me? I'm in the wrong relationship. Anybody like that here tonight? All right. How about... Now, I'm not talking physical, spiritual. I think I love the world. Will you pray for me? Anybody like that here tonight? All right. Can I just say, that takes a lot of courage to raise your hand right there. I want you to know I'm going to pray for you. I appreciate your honesty. There were hands all over. I'm just telling you. I understand the sensitivity of the subject and maybe... But I would implore, beg of you, beseech you, ask of you, and maybe go home and make some changes in your life. Give a call over to the world and say, we're done. It's over. Don't call me again. Just block your number and hang it up. Could you make that decision in your heart tonight? I'm not going to call you forward. Well, could you do that? It'll help you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that the hands that went up tonight, Lord, I'm thankful. Thankful that someone would say those things. Lord, I know that you bless honesty and truth. And Lord, I pray that our love for the world would be ended, and our love for you would be consumed. Lord, help us. Lord, I pray that maybe for those that were nervous about raising their hand, God, you would have them revisit these thoughts. And God, maybe in their own privacy of their own home, just talk to you. Lord, I love this church. I love these people. Lord, thank you for that. Lord, I pray that we'd be an encouragement and help to one another. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a good night.